You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. 0% financing for 84 months right now on the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado, plus up to 10 grand in price reductions. This may be the best deal on Silverados ever. Check it out, Lakewood Chev.
It's Armin Badakian from The Score. Armin, thanks for taking some time here. The reason we had you on was to talk about this Neymar story that just isn't seemed to going away, even though he's played his first game with his new club, Paris Saint-Germain. It looks like Barca is set to sue Neymar over breach of contract. Is this something that's been talked about in the soccer world long enough, or did this news come out of left field?
Yeah, it's been a really strange turn of events. As of today, Barcelona suing Neymar, and even from before, I mean, there was a report that Neymar actually held off on finalizing the move until the end of July because of a loyalty bonus that might have been paid on his contract, which Barcelona would have to pay after that date. So it's been really interesting to see these two parties as they kind of negotiated this whole forced transfer out. And Neymar's played his first game for PSG. He's played a couple games now, actually. He's done really well, but I feel like this is a story that's probably not going to be over until some, governing body maybe interferes and says, all right, enough.
Do you recall a split that's gone as sour as this is going between Barcelona and Neymar in the soccer world?
Yeah, I think when Luis Figo made his transfer, that was a pretty big one. And I also think that, in terms of the logistics behind it, there's never been anything like Neymar just because of the amount of money that's on the table. 220 million euros blows the last world record out of the water. So this has definitely been the biggest transfer. It's also turning into, I think, one of the messiest transfers. And in that way, it almost, if you're Neymar, you kind of want it to just be over. But Barcelona, they want to make sure that they're protected. The other thing that's going on is Barcelona is a club that's actually built with a group of socios. That's what they call themselves. But basically, it's fans that buy into the club. It's not really owned by its own organization. And so as a result, there's elections that take place. And the president at the time, at this moment, is a man named Bartomeu. He's not exactly well-regarded among the Barcelona fans right now, and so his position as president is also in question. And that's really what Barcelona needs to be trying to show their own fans. Hey, we're trying to do everything we can to make sure that the club's image remains intact, that a player like Neymar, who came in and betrayed us, that he's not going to get away with it. If we can find anything that we can to punish him for his treachery, then we will. And so there's that internal politics as well that's being played. It's a really fascinating story to see develop.
Absolutely. We're joined by Armin Badakian from The Score, talking a little bit of soccer, staying overseas, looking at the Premier League. Wayne Rooney is in Everton. It looks like a pretty good start to the season so far. Have you caught any of the Everton games? What have you made of Rooney? Because it appears to be, like, you know, he's older, but it looks like he's back in form.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he scored an incredible goal on his debut, and that's what everybody at Everton was waiting to see. Just to see him back in a blue shirt and scoring is amazing. I did catch his first match, and while he did score, I also thought that it was interesting that he wanted to drop deeper down into the midfield, which is a position that he was trying to own up at Manchester United. Maybe not to the greatest effect, though, and that probably had a reason to do with why he actually ended up leaving the club after so many years. I like Wayne Rooney. I think he's always going to be a goal-scoring threat, but it's becoming pretty clear that he's not the same player that he was 5 years ago. The speed certainly has abandoned him, and I don't know if he's a good enough player to play in midfield, whereas when he was a striker in his prime, he was unplayable. So, I mean, it's interesting. I really like the storyline. I really like the fact that he went back to the club where he started, and I wish him, honestly, I just want to see the best out of Wayne Rooney this season.
Do you think you'll ever get that call back to go to the English national team?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he's one of those players right now who I think is on the fringe, and it's strange because he's the England all-time top scorer, so it's interesting that he's not even really in consideration anymore. It's been a pretty steep decline for him, but I think if he shows good form, and let's say players like Danny Welbeck and other fringe England strikers don't, then I think that there's definitely a chance for him to make to the next World Cup squad. Gareth Southgate, the manager, has not closed the door on Wayne Rooney's role with the England team at all. So there's definitely a possibility there.
Let's go from across the pond to here in North America, talk a little bit of MLS, as drawn by Armin Badakian from The Score. Toronto FC has had a very good I guess, first stretch of the regular season. What's worked for Toronto FC and what hasn't worked for FC?
So Toronto FC is enjoying potentially what could be the greatest season in MLS history of any club. I mean, right now they're at 50 points. They have 9 or 10 games left in the season. And the points total overall is set by the LA Galaxy at 68. So if Toronto FC manages to get 18 more points out of this final stretch, they're going to match or even potentially beat the all-time record. Right now, it seems like Toronto FC is on pace to win the MLS Supporters Shield. So that, they have that going for them. Their players are informed. Their players are mostly healthy. So this, Toronto does have a lot going for them. What I think is an area that they need to still work on is the urgency. I think too many times in too many matches, we've seen Toronto FC kind of stay in second gear and not really kick it into third or fourth when they really needed to. But at the same time, they've only lost 3 games this entire season. So maybe they're saving it. Maybe they're holding on to their energy stores so that when the playoffs come around, they'll be, you know, ready and willing to fight harder. But if this is like the most we're going to see out of Toronto FC, then there might be some trouble down the line.
And I believe all 3 Canadian teams in MLS currently have a playoff spot. Let's stay out east for just a quick one. The Montreal Impact. What's the same thing for Toronto? What's worked? What hasn't worked for Montreal this season?
So Montreal, it's been really a tale of two halves to the season. I mean, they started off the year very poorly, and they struggled with injuries. Ignacio Piatti, their main player, has struggled with injuries particularly. But then they signed a guy named Blair Zamayli, who is a very, very influential midfielder. And his introduction has sort of changed the way the Montreal Impact play. And that, plus adding Canadian international Samuel Piet, has really changed Montreal's defensive shape. So the last 4 or 5 games, they've been the hottest team in MLS, and that's why they've propelled themselves back into a playoff position. And the one thing that I'm kind of hesitant about Montreal is I don't know if they've really shaken off all of the defensive problems that they had at the first half of the season, but if they continue this run of form, then they're definitely going to be in contention at the end of the year.
And let's close on the team closest to us in Edmonton, the Vancouver Whitecaps. We follow Alphonso Davies very closely here, and the Whitecaps currently hanging on to one of those playoff spots in the Western Conference. Maybe not a lot of the results the Whitecaps looking for, but they're still in a decent spot as through 23 games in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Vancouver is one of those teams that has not really hit a lot of highs, but they haven't really gone to many lows either. It's been kind of inconsistent, but I think the mid-season acquisitions or reintroductions have been really, really crucial for them. They signed a guy named Jordi Reyna at the top of the year, but then he picked up a pretty serious injury. So they're only just introducing him back to the team. He's an attacking midfielder who basically makes Carl Robinson's side tick. So that's the player they needed to make all the attacking pieces work. That, plus the signing of Freddie Montero as a designated player, has really reshaped Vancouver's attack. And they've done well in the last few weeks because of it. Carl Robinson's job right now is to make sure that he can find consistent results. And he's actually helped on by the fact that the Western Conference isn't as tough as the Eastern Conference this year. But if you look at those playoff spots, there's like 3 or 4 points separating 6 or 7 teams.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little tough. They just need some consistency. That's really what it's going to take.
And last, we'll close on this one, Armin. Staying in the Western Conference, Vancouver's in 6th spot. You mentioned how close it is between a few of those teams. Seattle and Kansas City are tied at the top with 40 points. Who is the best team in the Western Conference? If we're in Vegas right now, who'd you put money on? Seattle, KC, or maybe someone else lower in the field?
Probably Seattle right now. I would have said Sporting Kansas City, but they traded their best striker, Dom Dwyer, to Orlando. And while it was a big move and they got a lot of money back, that won't really pay off until next season. So I think Sporting Kansas City might have shot themselves in the foot. And Seattle, they didn't start the year particularly well either, but they've really picked up form. And guys like Clint Dempsey, Jordan Morris, Christian Roldan, this is a really good core of a team, all supported by Nicolas Lodeiro. So Seattle is definitely the team to beat in the West.
Armin, thanks for the rundown going across all soccer, Premier League, MLS, and more. Thanks for this, Armin.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Armin Badakian from The Score.